This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
This past Sunday, I told my church that I don't typically read Glamour magazine, but a couple years ago, somebody gave me an article in Glamour or one of these women's fashion magazines, I don't remember which one, that had a group of interviews with some very successful female corporate CEOs, and they're talking about how they made it work. And one of the women being interviewed said, you know, in our household, what we do is my husband doesn't work. He stays home with the kids while I go and work. And she said, it works for us. And several of the other women said that's exactly what they were doing as well in their situations. And they all said, look, we can make more money than our husbands can. And so why shouldn't we work? They can stay home with the kids and nurture the children and do those kinds of things. And we both are working in concert with one another, but I'm bringing in the money. But one of the women said something really interesting. She said, you know, I have to tell you, though, I don't find my husband physically attractive anymore. Said, as a matter of fact, the intimacy has gone out of the marriage. She said, I feel like I'm his mother or something. And the other women agreed. You know, I think there's something really, really telling about that, and something that you and I probably ought to be thinking about right now as we are going through a collapse in so many places around the country of the economy, especially as it relates to jobs. I think, and a couple of our guests that we're going to have on in a few minutes will argue, this is affecting men in different ways than it affects people generically. And what I believe is happening is that men have a drive created by God, Genesis chapter 2, toward the tilling and the keeping of the garden, toward bringing the bread from the ground, as God says. And when the labor of men is frustrated, men are hit hard at the very core of who they are. And a lot of people, even those who don't hold the biblical assumptions or Christian assumptions at all, are noticing this and saying what we're experiencing in the country right now is a man session, an economic collapse that is hitting men especially hard, which means that it's affecting families in very unique kinds of ways. What I'd like to know from y'all is, how do you think that we as churches ought to be addressing this? You know, every church in almost every community, especially those communities facing extremely high unemployment, you have men in your communities and in your congregations who have worked hard all their lives, who have families dependent upon them, who suddenly are getting pink slips, or they're getting furloughed, or they don't know if they're going to lose their job this time next month. Well, just because a man doesn't have a job, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have the drive to be a provider for his family, a breadwinner for his family. There's a lot that's going on then for him. So how should we be encouraging those men who are facing that economic uncertainty to nonetheless live out that life as providers and protectors for their families? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there are some of you out there who will say, yeah, I've lost my job, or my husband's lost his job, or there's some kind of economic hardship, but here is how we have grappled with this as godly biblical men seeking to maintain that drive. Because I'm afraid there's a lot of men who, when something like that happens, you lose your job or you're afraid you're going to lose your job, I'm afraid there are a lot of men who will see that as kind of a repudiation of what it means to be a man. And there are several things that a guy can do. A guy can either just kind of give it up. Okay, I'm not providing for my family. That means I'm not leader of my family. I'm just going to give that responsibility over to my wife or to somebody else. Or a guy can so drive himself that he sees himself as being completely worthless, and he's frustrated. Neither of those two things are true or biblical. So how could we help equip men to face this? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, a few things in the news. Ben Bernanke's nomination to be Fed chairman is running into a lot of criticism. But the interesting thing is that the criticism is coming both from the left and from the right. So that in the Senate, Senate's going to have to vote to confirm him. In the Senate, you have both John McCain saying he's going to vote against him, and Bernie Sanders, the socialist senator from Vermont, saying he's going to oppose him as well. This is quite a coalition forming of people saying to President Obama, we do not want Bernanke as Fed chair. Also, Barack Obama told Diane Sawyer that he is determined to deal with health care, regardless of the results in Massachusetts and the Senate race there. And he says he would rather be a really good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president. And so he plans to proceed forward with his agenda. And tomorrow, his agenda is coming to the forefront because it is the State of the Union address to both houses of Congress. And I think there are going to be a lot of people watching the State of the Union to see kind of what pose President Obama is going to strike when it comes to how to deal with the new reality of only having 59 votes in the Senate rather than 60. Is he going to do more of a Bill Clinton conciliatory, let's try to move to the middle, centrist, the era of big government is over type of a thing? And it certainly seems like some of that may be showing up because the word is that President Obama is going to call for a freeze on all non-security discretionary spending, which what that means is all the spending that's not for the Defense Department, military, or Veterans Affairs, and the spending that is not already set, like entitlement, Social Security, Medicare, and those kinds of things, debt payment and so service and so forth. So he's going to call for a freeze on those things in the State of the Union. And we'll see what else. How does he deal with Scott Brown? What does he do? Does he mention Scott Brown? Does he congratulate Scott Brown? What does he do? It'll be interesting to see that tomorrow night. A lot of controversy going on right now from a national coalition of feminist groups calling on CBS to abandon an ad that's playing during the Super Bowl. It's paid for by Focus on the Family, talking about Pam Tebow, her pregnancy in 1987 with Tim Tebow, and talking about how she chose to give him life and about how grateful they are that even though she was recommended by doctors to abort her child, that she gave birth to this future Heisman Trophy winner and how grateful her family is for him and for his life. And these feminist groups are saying this is wrong. One of them said it's anti-American and violent. You ought to pull it down. You know, I'm amazed by this. When you think about all of the anti-woman stuff that shows up in commercials for the Super Bowl, probably the most objectifying series of ads with women seen as just objects of men's sexual titillation and everything else on the Super Bowl, and the feminist groups are upset about an ad in which a mom says she's not even talking about the legality of abortion. She's just saying, I'm glad that I chose not to abort and encouraging other women to do the same. Now, you can be pro-choice, or you can say we ought not have an ad on television that encourages people to make a particular choice, but you can't be both. That's just not using language rightly. So we'll see how CBS deals with that. And we'll be praying for all kinds of women and men who will be watching television that night who might have very similar choices in front of them. Well, today we're talking about men and the economic collapse. I don't know about you, but I'm hearing from a lot of men all over the country, godly, hardworking guys, who are saying, look, I don't know what to do because I've been working at the same factory all my life, or I've been driving trucks with the same company all my life, or I've been selling retail merchandise into the same place all my life, and now suddenly I'm about to lose my job, and the problem is I don't know what to do from there. I don't know how to lead, how to be ahead of my home without that there. What would you say to a guy who says to you, I just lost my job, my wife is working, I don't have any prospects in front of me, how am I going to provide for my family? What kind of counsel would you give to that guy? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And men, if you're in this place of economic pressure, what would you want your wife to know, or your children to know, or your church to know about how to minister to you and to help you and to pray for you? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about the He Session here on the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking today about the Man Session, about the way that men particularly are experiencing economic collapse, and what can we as Christian churches and people do to address this issue in our own communities and neighborhoods and congregations. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think. But first, I'm honored to have on the program right now Michael Gerson, who is columnist for The Washington Post, nationally syndicated columnist, actually not for The Washington Post. He's seen in newspapers all over the country, in Newsweek magazine, former top aide to President George W. Bush, and is a senior research fellow at the Institute for Global Engagement, author of a book called Heroic Conservatism. Michael Gerson, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Great to be with you.
I was really interested in your article, which appeared in The Washington Post last week, talking about the way that the recession is taking a toll on men. You talk about sitting down with a group of guys in Martinsville, Virginia. Right. What do you see going on with men right now?
Well, I really decided that, you know, everyone is going to be talking about unemployment in this State of the Union season. And I thought, well, maybe I should talk to some unemployed people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Martinsville has a 20% unemployment rate, which is really extraordinary. They've undergone massive transition. And sitting down with these guys, you got really the human perspective. I mean, these were people that had worked with their hands their whole lives in manufacturing, particularly in the furniture industry down there near North Carolina. Now they're being forced to go back to school to learn service sector jobs. About 75% of the jobs loss in this recession has come in fields that are predominantly male-dominated, whether it's construction or manufacturing. And so they've borne most of the challenge here, and it's a strain, not just an economic strain, but also a family strain. These are people that had provided well for their families their whole lives, and now they're in a position where they're having to go back to school, struggling to find a job, and finding a difficult time being a breadwinner.
Mm. And you talk about this is more than just economic. This really is having an emotional and psychic toll on a lot of men.
Yeah. I mean, I have talked with one guy who had, you know, had a skilled job in a furniture factory, in a table factory, and had, you know, did custom work, furniture work in his spare time to make extra money. And in this recession had to sell all his tools. You know, and you know that after you've had a lifetime of that type of employment, the adjustment's very difficult. It's particularly difficult for men in this economy. It's particularly difficult for older men who've worked for maybe 20, 30 years in a certain field that no longer is providing the jobs that it used to, and now have to go to things like call centers or working in the, you know, a medical office. These are very, very difficult transitions.
And you argue that this is causing some political implications and resentment out there in the country.
Yes, these guys who I talked to, they were angry at all politicians. There was a kind of general feeling of resentment. Now, some of that is just changes that are going to be hard to you can't go back exactly the way it was. You know, but I did get a strong feeling about two possible solutions that these guys need. One of them is they need a growing economy that's adding jobs.
Yeah.
So the overall economic atmosphere makes a big difference. And second, they really need the kind of retraining to go into different types of employment, where right now the government's pretty stingy. It maybe pays for 9 months of retraining, mm-hmm. and a lot of places require a 2-year associate's degree or even more in order to make that transition. And so I think there's a conservative, point here, which is we need more economic growth. We need an atmosphere where job growth takes place, which is really small and medium-sized firms for the most part. But then we also really need to care for people, particularly older men, who are facing some really tough times and need that extra education.
Now, you worked very closely with President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
If you were working very closely with President Obama right now, helping him with his speech for tomorrow night for the State of the Union, what would you advise him to say that would give some kind of hope to these guys you were talking to in Martinsville?
Well, I think some of it is a matter of taking care of practical concerns of struggling middle-class people. And he's talking about some of that,
mm-hmm.
about encouraging savings and helping out with, more generous child benefits and some other things. I think that's probably an important part of the message. But I also think he needs to be convincing that he's got an approach that is not just going to care for people in need, but is actually creating jobs in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just helping people get unemployment, even though that's important,
right.
or retraining. It's actually creating an economic environment where people are investing capital in creating new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm looking for him, to be compelling or interesting. I'm not sure we're going to see that, to be honest with you. That sounds more like Ronald Reagan than Barack Obama, but we need it.
Yeah. Well, what about these mediating institutions out there in society? And I'm thinking particularly of Christian churches. What would you advise a congregation to do or to at least start thinking about when it comes to dealing with this issue in their own context?
Well, first of all, talking with these guys, a couple of them had gotten some very practical help, food help and some other things from church members in their community.
Mm.
One of the challenges in a place like Martinsville when you have an overall economic recession, however, is that some of these institutions are actually strained themselves.
Sure.
People in the churches don't have as much money to give, and the needs are greater.
Yeah.
And so you really do face some challenges. But I think that kind of sacrificial, particularly in a recession, that kind of attitude of generosity really, really matters to people. And I would also say there are a number of churches that get involved in this field of helping with retraining and other things like that. We're helping, congregants and others make these very, very difficult economic adjustments, kind of coming in around these families and supporting them while they're getting new skills. Those, I think, are very important things.
Michael Gerson, thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you for a very interesting and provocative article on an important issue. Appreciate having you with us. What about you? What do you think about this issue? How can we, as Christians and as churches, how can we address the fact that men are getting hit really, really hard by the economic meltdown around us, and that when you have men who are losing their jobs or who might lose their jobs, that's affecting families. That's affecting the entire way that the family is seeing itself as being led. So what can we as Christian churches do about this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. If you had a man in your congregation who came up and said, I just lost my job. Am I still the head of my household? Can I still provide for my family? And what difference does that make? What would you say? And maybe you're a man out there who says, I've lost my job or I'm about to lose my job. I'm feeling this kind of pressure. What do I do? How do I maintain that mandate to provide for my family even when I don't have any income coming in? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. A few minutes, I'm going to have a good friend and friend of this program, Dr. Brad Wilcox, who's going to talk about some ways that we can start thinking about this as Christians and as churches. But I want to hear from you. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Washington Post, Forbes Magazine, New York Times, all kinds of media outlets lately are picking up on an issue that men are getting hit really hard by the economic recession around us. I want to hear from you. What do you think this means for us as Christians? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, Dr. Brad Wilcox at the University of Virginia, author of what I think is one of the most important books in the last decade, Soft Patriarchs, New Men, talking about manhood and how that looks within Christian context, is on the line. He's professor of sociology at the University of Virginia, member of the James Madison Society at Princeton University. Brad Wilcox, welcome to the program.
Dr. Moore, it's a pleasure to be here.
You were quoted in this Michael Gerson article for the Washington Post talking about the fact that working class men are getting hit a lot harder than college educated men when it comes to the economic meltdown. And you say that they're having a problem with seeing themselves or having trouble seeing themselves as providers. Why does that matter?
Well, you know, I think that men derive a portion of their identity when they're husbands and fathers from their ability to provide for their families. You know, it's the kind of material provision that is really important, you know, for them. And so when men have that, you know, provision kind of knocked out of their roles as husbands and fathers, that can be really a real big blow to their sense of self-worth.
Okay. How does this affect women? When a man in the household has lost his job or is in the potential of losing his job?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This past week, the Pew Center released a study showing that about 24% of married couples have women who out-earn their husbands. And a lot of media types and a lot of journalists and academics have kind of celebrated this development, you know, the woman who's earning more than her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the average American wife, particularly when she's got kids at home, this is not her ideal scenario because most women with children in the household would like to work part-time or stay at home. And if their husband's not, you know, pulling in a decent income, that really limits their ability to focus more on the kids and the household. So, you know, the bottom line here, Russell, is that, you know, for most American mothers, wives, you know, with kids in the household, they prefer that their husband takes the lead when it comes to breadwinning.
Now, you argue that this really has some really important implications later on for marriage, especially among working class families. Why should we as what should we as churches be doing to try to shore this up? Is there anything that Christian congregations and individuals can be doing to try to address this issue?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one of the basic things, of course, is to provide, prayers for people and a place where people can express their concerns and their frustrations with the current job market so that, you know, if people are in a difficult way in terms of unemployment or underemployment, they know that their church communities are there for them in this time of difficulty. I think another thing they can do, though, is to, you know, really work on providing job leads to men who are not employed, you know, ideas. For new jobs, leads for new jobs, et cetera. And then I think another thing that churches and more broadly Christians can do is really to sort of, in terms of the more long-term focus, is to start and to lead single-sex schools for boys that really will help them over the long term do better in school, and that will have a good impact on their job prospects down the road.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad Wilcox. I really appreciate your giving attention to this issue and speaking with us today. And again, he's the author of a book called Soft Patriarchs, New Men. You really need to read it. It is one of the most important books you will have ever read, especially if you're a church leader or a pastor. So pick that up. Brad Wilcox, thank you for being with us today. And I'd like to talk to you, listener. What do you think we need to be doing as churches, as Christians, in addressing men and saying, hey, just because you've lost your job, or just because you have the potential of losing your job, this doesn't mean you're a failure. This doesn't mean that somehow you're no longer the provider for your household. How can we address that in a way that is gospel-oriented and is compassionate and is truthful? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Tell me what you would say to that family that says, you know, we don't know what to do because he's home, he's lost his job, she's out working two or three jobs to try to make ends meet, and the kids are screaming in the background. What should we do? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking today about how the economic situation, especially unemployment, joblessness, is hitting men and what that then is doing for families. That song is from the soundtrack of one of the most awesome movies that has ever been made, Cinderella Man. And if you've never seen Cinderella Man and you want to understand exactly what we're talking about here, rent that DVD and watch it, and you're going to see something. When I first saw this movie, I thought, how in the world did this get made today? You've got a husband and a dad who is presented as a protagonist and somebody who says, I'm fighting for milk for his children. And it's just a wonderful view, not only of the way that economic hardship hits at men in a unique kind of way, and for very biblical reasons, and also the way that a man can overcome that, and how a man can overcome hardship in a heroic and courageous kind of way. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you think that we as Christians and churches ought to be and can be addressing the so-called man session? 877-893-TALK. We have Laura on the line. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to be on. I just wanted to say that there's more to being a leader in the home, to being a man, than to being the primary breadwinner.
Sure.
I know in my family there's many things that my husband does that takes leadership in the family, and I respect him for that. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Some of the things he does is he does the budget. I actually have no idea when I get my paycheck. He sorts that out. He crunches the numbers and makes the budget work.
Yeah.
I have never put gasoline in my car.
Yeah.
He always gases the car. When he goes to school or work in the morning, he ices my car as well as his.
Mm-hmm.
There's just all kinds of things. And the main thing is that he's a spiritual leader in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And by me working as well, it allows him to work at a job where he makes less money. We could not make it if we lived on what he made.
Mm-hmm.
But by me working as well, it allows him to do what he loves, and not just what he loves, but what God has called him to do.
Oh.
So my challenge would be for women, you know, to step up and be who God created you to be, a helpmate to your husband. And during economic crisis, if you have the ability to work and help him, allow him to be the leader in other ways besides just the primary breadwinner.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Well, clearly, biblical headship and leadership is about more than simply providing, but it is about providing. I mean, this is why Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, someone who does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. That doesn't mean any particular amount of money. It doesn't mean that sometimes people think about provision, and what we think about is a very American sense of keeping up with the Joneses. That's not what the scripture is talking about here, but it's talking about a weight and a burden that is coming upon men to bring forth bread from the ground. When that's frustrated in the life of a man, that puts a weight and a burden upon him that can do all sorts of things unless he sees and knows what's happening. And I think Laura is right that women ought to be understanding what's happening. And so a lot of times you're going to have families where women, the wife and the children within the home, maybe even sisters and sisters in Christ in the community, they read this kind of economic hardship in the same way that they would see it if it happened to them. And it's not the same thing. It hurts for a woman to lose a job very, very badly. but it hits a man, it seems, at the very core of his identity, typically, in a way that has often, in an ungodly man, some destructive consequences, and in a godly man, an opportunity for shaping and testing and moving on to the next great thing. And so I think that Laura's exactly right. I would encourage every wife, regardless of whether your husband is really experiencing any economic problem right now, almost every man is facing some economic uncertainty right now, simply because he sees so many of his friends facing all of these problems, and he wonders what's coming down next in the economic downslide. Pray for him and support it. Absolutely. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Rob on the line. Rob, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, thanks. I think this is a pretty good follow-up to the question Laura was asking. And let me first say, I do believe a man should work if he can. But what I'm interested in exploring is the validity of your premise that men have a God-given drive to be the primary provider of the family, based on the mandate given Adam by God to work or till the earth.
Yeah,
that model makes sense. I agree from a physical standpoint with man being physically superior to women. But in today's job market, so many jobs aren't physical, they're more mental. Should the Adam mandate apply? Why couldn't a woman be the primary earner in this market?
Because of the way that a man and a woman are designed. In the Genesis account, it's not just that men are told, well, you're better equipped physically to bring forth bread from the ground. There's a reason that men are designed physically the way that men are designed. And why? Because Ephesians chapter 5 tells us the creation is patterned after that mystery of Christ in the church, of a man who is sacrificing himself and providing for his wife, and then ultimately, of course, for his offspring and for the tribe. So you see the way that Adam is created. He is not only told to work and to till the ground, his very name, his very identity comes from that kind of provision. He's called Adam because he's brought forth out of the ground. The curse, when it's placed upon the man, is a curse that is frustrating that occupation, that you'll bring forth the bread from the ground, God says, but as you do so, it will be with the sweat of your brow, with thorns and thistles. With the woman, she's named Eve. Why? She comes out of the side of the man. She's called woman. She's named Eve because she's the mother of all living. This is her central identity here as a nurturer, as a life giver. And what happens with the curse? The curse also frustrates that. You will bring forth children, God says, but it will be in pain. The curse is hitting at those core realities. And so when a man is given a wife and children, there is a unique burden of sacrificing of self for the provision of that wife and children, which is exactly why Paul addresses this issue and says, don't let this happen where you have a shirking of the responsibility to provide. What's your thought on this? 877-893-8255. If you have a guy in your church or a guy in your community who says, hey, I've just lost my job, what am I going to do? How am I going to see myself as a leader? How can I continue to be provider, protector? What would you say? 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Okay, Johnny Cash equals awesome. That's still true. It's just as true in 2010 as it was true in 1970. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program, and that is precisely what is going on, not just in some communities in the United States of America, but all over the place. The LNN don't stop here anymore. There are businesses and factories and jobs that are shutting down and leaving and not coming back in the foreseeable future. And there are a lot of men out there who are hurting and a lot of women who are hurting because their families are being uprooted. A lot of children who are hurting because not only do you have the economic stress, but you have dads and husbands who are wondering, well, what does that mean for me? I think the key issue here is that often in our churches, there's been an American view of provision rather than a biblical view of provision. When you look at what the scripture says that a man is called to do for his family, sacrifice himself, but for what? For those things that are necessary, spiritual leadership, food, clothing, shelter. You don't owe your family an expensive house or a two-car garage or even a college education. And so we need to replace that cultural understanding of provision with a biblical understanding of provision. And we also need to help call one another to account. Men, when you face economic hardship, recognize and see that Deuteronomy 8 as coming providentially from the Lord. But the Lord hasn't forgotten you. The Lord's not going to stop providing for you. The Lord's not going to stop watching you like he watches every sparrow that falls from the sky. Learn in this time to trust on the provision of the Lord and don't withdraw into yourself. Instead, turn to those that God's given you, whoever it is that's dependent upon you, and say, I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. I'm going to seek wisdom from the Lord. I'm going to trust in the provision that God is going to give us, and I'm going to come up with a plan, and God will bless that. And in the meantime, the rest of us in churches and in homes need to be finding these men, praying, and saying, God, show us in this what it looks like to lead as men. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.